So this is our first weekend back from school, and so it's one of those situations where, or sorry, first week back from break. It's one of the situations I think where I know that we have some freshmen who they had their first semester away from home, and they were at college, and they had a break, and then it's kind of that sense of coming back. I don't know if it, not for everybody. I talked to some of them earlier this week. And ask them, like, does it feel like coming home? Or did it feel like you were leaving home? That's the big thing, is like for some students, it's a matter of, yeah, like it finally feels like campus is home. It finally feels like my dorm, my apartment, my house, whatever, here in Duluth. It feels like that's home now, finally. And others are like, no, it was really hard to leave. Because home is home. And when I'm here in Duluth, it's comfortable. It's where I live, but it's not home. And I thought about that because that kind of resonates with me. I mean, I live in this house, and people have said, like, oh, your house. And I'm like, I never call it my house. I always call it the Newman house because I don't, it's A, it's not mine. I don't own it. And B, it's not my home. It's just where I live. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where it's just like, no, this isn't home. It's fine. It could be better, it could be worse. But it's not home. It's just where I've been called to live. Sometimes we have that even more pronounced, right? We have this sense of like, I don't know if I belong here. Again, talking to some students, sometimes that's what they're grappling with is, I don't know if I belong here. I don't know yet if I fit in. I don't know if I belong here, but I have to live here. And there can be this kind of sense, again, for greater or for worse, sense of being homeless. Not that you don't have a home, but that you're not there. And that's kind of the key. It's one of those common human experiences, right? I mean, obviously there's a thing as actual homelessness, but this common human experience of, okay, this isn't my home, but I've been called to live here. This isn't home, but it's where I have to live. In fact, it's a significant theme in the Bible. The whole Bible is actually has a couple predominant themes. One of those massive themes of the Bible is the theme of exile, the theme of homelessness. It's basically, I'm not where I'm meant to be. I'm not where I'm called to be. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I'm an exile. I have this sense of homelessness. So we're actually going to start this series for the next few weeks, just so we see jump into this semester about exile. It's called homeless because in small ways, like, I don't know if I feel at home here on campus, and in some really serious ways, I am far from home. I am not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not where I should be. I'm not where I belong, but this is where I've been called to live. We're going to look at that more deeply. In fact, again, as I said, this idea, this notion, this theme of exile goes all the way back to the very beginning of the Bible. I mean, it's throughout the whole thing, but even think of the first story of the Bible. Here's God, who's good, who makes this world good. He makes Adam and Eve, he makes them good. And then what happens? In chapter 3, we rebel against God. It's what has to happen. Because of that rebellion, Adam and Eve become homeless. Because of that rebellion, they can no longer live in the garden. And the experience of human beings from that moment on has been an experience of being homeless. That this earth was meant to be our home. But because we broke things, our experience of living even on this earth is the sense of, I don't know that I belong here, but I'm called to live here. And I don't know that I'm supposed to be here, but I have to live here. In fact, so then the story goes on, right? Here's the people of Israel, and they're sold into slavery. They're in Egypt. Again, this place of death, this place of slavery, this place where they definitely did not belong, but they had to live there. God set them free, and they're in the wilderness again, another place where it's just like, okay, this is not home. They're living homelessness. They're living exile, where I don't belong here. I'm not supposed to be. I'm not meant to live in the desert. That's where I have to live right now. And I think the most pronounced example, of course, is the thing called the Babylonian exile. It's kind of one of those defining moments in the life of the people of Israel. It's in 605 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he basically comes into Jerusalem, conquers the area, and he deports all these people. In fact, there are three deportations. So the first deportation, there's a bunch of people, and principally among them are four people. There is Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, and the most famous reindeer of all is Daniel. And one, thank you. But can you imagine this? In this deportation, any of the deportations, that sense of just, in a moment, you lose everything. That in a moment, everything's taken away. And you're carted off to a foreign land with a foreign language and foreign people and foreign customs, and you no longer have a home. That you realize every step you take, every place you are, it's like, I don't belong here, but I have to live here. And it seems like in those kind of situations, it would seem impossible to be the person you were called to be. Because look at the Jewish people. Who were they called to be? Well, as Jewish people, they were the chosen people of God. They're meant to follow the commandments. They're meant to live in a covenant relationship with God. And it would seem like if we're living in Babylon, if we're homeless in this moment, if we're exiled at this moment, it seems impossible to be the person you're actually called to be because you're exiled. You're living in the midst of people who they had no love for them. The people had no love for their beliefs. They had no love for their way of life. They lived in the midst of a people in Babylon who would not make it easy for them. And they found themselves in exile, knowing that I don't belong here, but I have to live here. That's what actually Isaiah, the first reading today, Isaiah 49, that's what Isaiah is writing about. Because these prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all three of them, they saw this coming. They saw what was going on in Jerusalem. They saw the Assyrians coming in from the north. They saw the Babylonians coming in. And they said, what's going to happen is you're going to end up exiled. You're going to end up homeless. You're going to be carted off to a place where you do not belong, but you're going to have to learn how to live there. That's why Isaiah today, in Isaiah 49, he says, he's given us some hope. He says, okay, after this, after you get be our homeless, it's not the end. Jacob will be brought back to the Lord, and Israel will be gathered to him. So again, this is not forever. You have a home. This is important for us as Christians too. You have a home, but you'll be homeless for a while. You won't belong there, but you will have to learn to live there. And in the meantime, it won't be easy. And this is true for us as well. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but in the New Testament, St. Paul's letters in the letter to the Hebrews and St. Peter, they describe Christians like this. They say, you are, to all the Christians, you are exiles and pilgrims. You are strangers and sojourners. You are basically homeless. That the Christian, we walk around this earth and we find ourselves in this place where I realize I don't belong here. But I have to learn how to live here. And it's going to be difficult. You know, Dorothy Day was a woman who worked in the Catholic worker movement back in the last century. She quoted one of her friends, Peter Morin, who had said, a good society is one that makes it easy to be good. And I always really liked that quote. Like, a good society is one that makes it easy to be good. It's kind of one of those litmus tests for, do we live in a good society or not? And I like that, but there's two problems with that. If a good society is one that makes it easy to be good, two problems are, one, what if you don't live in a good society? And two, brings up the question, is that the goal? Is the goal to be good? I think in answer to that second question, I think a lot of us think that it is. I think a lot of us think that the goal of being a Christian is just be good. In fact, there's a sociologist out of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who now works at Notre Dame. His name is Christian Smith. And Christian Smith did this nationwide study of the faith lives of American adolescents and the moral lives of American young adults. One of the things after this whole study, what he came back with was he discovered that American adolescents and American young adults kind of all across the country believe that the two main goals of living was basically to be happy and to not be a jerk. Basically, to be happy and to be good. That those are the two main goals of humanity. Again, and these are Christians. These are Catholics. These are mainline Protestants. These are evangelicals. We're basically saying, main goal of life, just be good. Question, is that the main message of Christianity? Just be good. You know, there was a Bible study here on campus that last semester, they asked the question, engaged with the question, what's the difference between a good person and a saint? And I guess it was a really big question. It was a question that was wrestled back and forth because there's a lot of, we realize this, I don't know if you've ever asked that question, what's the difference between a good person and a saint? A lot of commonalities, right? A good person and saints, they're both virtuous, you know, good people and saints are kind, they're generous, they're probably honest, they have integrity, they have a good character. All these things are things in common between a good person and a saint. What's the difference? What's the difference between being a good person and a saint? And I think you can go back and forth and all these dimensions, I think the answer is actually really, really simple. The difference between a good person and a saint is God. That's the difference. You know, a good person can, an atheist even, can be a good person just because it's the right thing to do. Or you know, we can be good people because we want to be like, you know, quote unquote, the best version of ourselves. But a Christian or a saint isn't just called to be good. A Christian is called to be holy. And that's the difference. That's why in answer to those two questions of what if you don't live in a good society and is the main goal to be a saint, we have St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. For the next few weeks, as we walk through this series on homelessness, we are also going to, in being in exile, we're going to walk with St. Paul in his writing to the Corinthians. Why? Because A, talk about a not good society. The Corinthians, the city of Corinth was actually notorious for being a horrible place to live. In fact, it was an evil place. Every street was Bourbon Street, basically. You know, every street was the Las Vegas Strip. That, in fact, even in that culture, that had a lot of brokenness. If someone was exceptionally bad, an insult you could give them was to call them a Corinthian. So here's St. Paul writing to Christians in Corinth. Again, they do not live in a good society. So a good society is one that makes it easy to be good. It would not be easy to be good in Corinth. Secondly, St. Paul makes a distinction between someone who's just good and someone who's holy. Even in what we heard today, he says, I, Paul, called. Writing to you who are called. He says, I, Paul, called to be an apostle. Writing to you who are called to be holy. What is it to be called to be holy? Well, First of all, it doesn't mean you're called to be pious. It doesn't necessarily mean you're called to be a plaster statue. To be holy is actually a biblical term that goes all the way back to the Old Testament. To be holy is simply to be set apart. To be holy is to be set apart for a purpose. That here is St. Paul writing to these Corinthians and not living, they were not home. They were not in the place that made it easy to be good. They were not in the place they belonged. They were in the place they had to learn how to live there. And he's writing to them and he says, okay, here's the deal. You have been called to be holy. You've been set apart for a purpose. You've been brought into a covenant relationship with the Lord. Because of that, you're called to be homeless and holy. You're called to be homeless and holy. Of course, the question comes up like, how can I live on purpose? How can I be holy then? I don't belong here, but I have to live here. What I would ask the question, well, is there any place God is not? The answer is no. So is there any place that we can't live in relationship with God? And the answer is no. Even in Babylon, even when we're homeless, you know, Daniel, we're going to walk with Daniel for the next few weeks because he and his pals are great examples of what it is. How can we live homeless but holy? In Daniel chapter 6, it talks about how Daniel resolved to hear it, even as a kid, even a young man who was taken away from everything he loved, taken away from everything he knew, and made completely an exile, made completely a homeless person. Daniel had resolved, Daniel chapter 6, Daniel had resolved to pray to the Lord, his God, three times a day. When he couldn't enter the temple, he just simply faced the direction of the temple and raised his hands to the Lord God. So we know this. We know this first step we have to do, first step we have to take if we're going to be homeless but holy. We have to recognize, okay, I don't belong here, but I have to live here. There's no place that God is not. It's my first resolution, just like Daniel. He resolved to pray three times a day, turning to the Lord with hands raised. Is my invitation for all of us for the rest of this season, you know. Lent is 6 weeks away. So it's like a Lent before Lent. It's like 40 days or so until Lent starts. My invitation all through this series is to enter into prayer, to make the resolution like Daniel did, this homeless man who knew he was holy, to be like him. Because I can't be holy unless I pray. In fact, you know, there's a man, he's a friend of mine, his name's Mark Hart. And Mark has said, we can never say, I'm working on my prayer. My prayer helps my relationship with God. He says, prayer is your relationship with God. Prayer doesn't help my relationship with God. Prayer is my relationship with God. And if I'm not praying, if I'm not living like Daniel, if I'm not in that place where I'm homeless but I'm holy, if I'm not in that place where I resolve to pray on a regular basis every single day, that means I don't have a relationship with God. Which means what? You're made to be holy. St. Paul even says this. You have been sanctified, meaning you have been consecrated. You have been set apart for a purpose. It's not like you need to get there. You already have been. But you're called to be holy, meaning you've been made holy. Now you're called to live holy. Another way to say it is you've been set apart for a purpose. Question, are you going to live on purpose? Or are we going to live off purpose? The way that we can know that we're living on purpose is to live like Daniel. To realize, I've been made holy. I've been set apart for a purpose. I am going to resolve to pray. Prayer does not help our relationship with God. Prayer is our relationship with God. And everything begins and ends with prayer. You don't have to wait to be holy. You already are. You have been sanctified. You don't have to wait to be holy. The Lord's only waiting for you to choose to live on purpose. And this is the last thing, as I said. You've been set apart for a purpose. We have been set apart for a purpose. The choice is, will we live on purpose? You and I, we don't belong here, but we have to live here. We are homeless, but we have been called, no matter who we are or where we are, to be homeless and holy, which is another way of saying we've been called to be homeless and His.